couple of weeks ago, I spoke on Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, darkness covers the nations, thick darkness the people, but the glory of the Lord rises upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It is my favorite verse. It is, I believe, at the moment, it's my favorite verse. I've got quite a few, actually. But I believe at the moment it is God's word to the church worldwide. I just believe that. I believe if God is saying anything to us, it is that, those three verses. Arise and shine, for your light has come. It has come. And I don't want to go over the sermon I said, but just briefly, the context of that scripture talks about the Savior coming. If we go back to the end of 59, we will read about how the Lord says, I'll look for someone to stand in the gap for me, found no one, so I stretched out my own arm and brought salvation. What is that? It is Jesus coming and dying on the cross. He has wrought, see, he has brought salvation to us. He's brought salvation to us. His light. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, can't tell you the verse, he says, you are the light of the world. Yep. Hang on, Lord, it says you are the light of the world. Well, yes, and so are you. If he's in us, you and I are the light of the world. Our light has come. Past tense reality. I don't feel it, Lord. Irrelevant. Yes. Sort of. You know what I mean? The truth is, his light has come. The truth is, if we've given our lives to Jesus, his light is in us. Yes. Truth. Do we believe it? Yes. Daniel, quick flick to Daniel, don't read it too much. Just this is gonna might be a bit hodgepodge. I've got a kind of short circuit thing. Not that I mind too much, it was a great morning. Hallelujah. How many of you felt the Lord touch you this morning? Just as a minute. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Whew. Oh, I might just go home now. I'm happy boy. All right. Daniel chapter 2. King Nebuchadnezzar gets this dream of this monstrous great statue. Don't worry about turning and looking to it, so I won't read the whole thing. But anyway, the statue is this big statue, and basically the upshot of it was is that Daniel was the only one that could interpret the dream. He even told Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was. That impressed them. That's impressive. And he said there's these four kingdoms that are come, four kingdoms that are going to come. And then in the picture says this. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, and the silver, and God. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze crushed all at the same time, became like chaff, gone. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain that filled the earth. So I'll go through it quickly again. The dream was of a statue. It had head, chest, abdomen, feet. And they were four different, they were made of four different things, and each represented four different kingdoms that ruled the earth at that point. And I won't go through the four of them because I'll probably get them wrong and I might not remember them straight off because I didn't write it down. But there were four of them. The last one, the Roman Empire, was the Roman Empire. And it says that a stone without human hands. Oh, what does that say? That must be without human hands. A stone was crushed that and the statue fell. And then that stone grew and grew and grew and filled the earth. And Daniel's interpretation is verse 44, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put to end all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. What happened during the end of the Roman reign? Jesus came and established a kingdom that will never end. A kingdom that will never end. That king currently, right now, is Lord of all the universe. He right now reigns over everything. Colossians says that in him and through him and by him, everything lives and moves and has its being. That's Jesus. That's who he is now. He rules and he reigns. And the whole earth is coming under his kingdom. The whole earth. That's why we are said to confidently to arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now the point at this time is that this kingdom is, if you like, to coin a phrase, is voluntary, if you like, having to do with our choices. We can choose to enter it or we can choose not to. This is the season that we're in. Father wants as many, 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 many people in his kingdom as we can possibly come. That's why the days are prolonged. I don't know how long it will be until the second coming. I do not know. I once preached this. I preached this amazing statement. I thought I was so clever coming up with. And I said, it will be much, it will not be as, won't be as close as some people are saying, but it won't be as far away as others are saying. I was so proud of that statement. And I remember going home thinking, I thought, what a stupid thing to say. What is a stupid thing to say? It's like saying, the longer you live, the older you get. Well, that's profound. Anyway, there's just. Anyway, where was that? You're the key, his kingdom. And each of us is called to be a part of it, which is really cool. That's why the days are extended. Yeah, I was saying, I don't know when it will end. A lot of people say, oh, we're in the last days. Oh, only a few short years it'll come. And I'm thinking, this is my response to this. I think, is that really all you want in your kingdom, Lord? Yeah. Heaven is huge. It's eternal. There's been this many people in the time of Jesus come, in the time of Jesus coming, let's say, and it works retrospectively as well. His cross works backwards in time as well. And I think, so there's only 3 billion people saved. And I think, Lord, is that all? Is that all you want in your kingdom? Don't you want more? Isn't the blood of Jesus paid for more? Is that all you want? You're the God of all eternity. You're the God of all creation. Only 2 billion people? You're more creative than that. I scratch my head at people so raging and thinking about that. I said, I think, I don't get that. That's my own thought. You can say, well, yeah, the Bible says, and I'll show you other scriptures and say, well, the Bible says this. Anyway, that's raving. Let's go back to Matthew. I just want to put that in there about his kingdom. Very important to remember that. I actually think it's crucial that remember that the kingdom started when he rose again from the dead. That was when he was made king. That was when Messiah came. That the people of God didn't recognize him does not discount the fact that he's already come. Yeah. All right? Because you even say, oh, yes, he only came to save. He will come one day. No, 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 no. Messiah will come. Da, da, da. Messiah has come. His people did not see him. One day their eyes will be opened to see him. And they will reckon, oops. Yeah. Yes, that was you back then. Sorry we missed it. Messiah has come. Messiah now rules and reigns over the universe. It's what my Bible tells me. Don't know if what yours says, mine says that. Unless I've got the wrong translation. He has come and he now rules and reigns. He sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. There is no one more superior to him than his Father. No one. Never will be. And you and I are his kids. Yep. I'm his boy. I am. What are you laughing at? I'm his boy. All right, so you're not very excited about that. That's fine. Who were we praying for the other day? We're praying for Nisim. I said, Lord, Nisim's your boy. And we're praying for Asim, I think. We said, he's your boy. So, you know, we're confident. When we pray for each other, be confident. Yeah. Di's his girl. So we can pray with confidence. Jesus, she's your girl. Come on. What can stand in the way of us who are his kids? We're his boys and we're his girls. Yeah. I don't know if I was thinking of preaching. This is what happens when you've only got a few minutes left to get. Let's go to Matthew 20. I've got to get to the things in my bag here. I think, and I'm trying to remember when I preached this. I preached this last, Matthew 21, verse 12. I think I preached this last year, which probably, you want us to remember last year, Ian. Come on, get a grip. Cleansing of the temple. You all know the story of the cleansing of the temple. And Jesus entered the temple. This is Matthew 21, verse 12. Sorry for those who are wanting to follow it. Verse 12, and Jesus entered the temple, drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And I think I said at the time, did you guys get all sorted in the end? You did? Oh, no worries. Bless you. Bless you, bless you. It's the folks that used that down there, and there was a mix-up this morning here. This morning when we arrived at 9 o'clock, there was a bit of a mix-up. Anyway, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. And the point of this, what I was trying to say, is that the house in this particular passage does not mean sacred place of worship. It does earlier when Jesus entered the temple. The word there means a sacred building for the purpose of worshiping. That's what it means there. But in this one, my house shall be called a house of prayer. The word does not mean temple. It means house. It means the same as when we go around to Chris and Dorothy's, we're going to their house. We're going to their place. We're going to invade their place. Eat all effort. No, we're not going to eat all effort. Yeah, but that's what it means. We go around to their house, where they live, where they relax, where they watch TV and all the things we do in a house. Their house, my house, where I live, where I put my feet up on the coffee table. That place is a house of prayer. Isn't that an interesting meaning? Isn't that an interesting meaning? Now, I want to show you very quickly this bit here. Oh, and I think we came to the upshot that, of course, where is the house of God today? Not a trick question. Where is the house of God today?
We are.
Think of this. We are where the Holy Spirit wants to come in, put his feet up on the coffee table. That's what it means. He wants to come in, come in, I want to make my home. What does Jesus say in Revelation to one of the churches? Laodicea, I think. I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in and then we'll have a tuck out together. We'll scoff ourselves silly. That's a translation. That's what it means. I will come in and I will dine with you. What does it mean to dine? You go to the guru's place, they are so pleased that they've put on a big spread. Why? Because that's what we do. When we want fellowship, when we want to enjoy each other, when we want to get to know each other, we do it with food and drink. That's what Jesus is saying. You open the door, I'm going to come in. I'm going to make my home in you. I'm going to set up residence right in your place, right in your heart, and I'm going to live there. Because that's what we were made for. It's all we were made for. And all that means, all that represents, and until we get that squared away, until every human being gets that sorted out, we will never know the fullness of joy and peace that God made us for. We are simply his house to live in. Jesus said, unless you are in me and I'm in you, you can do nothing. Get into it. Righto, let's go back to verse 13. No, we won't. We'll go to verse 14. Actually, we could spend some time talking about the robber's den too. We might get to that one day. Interesting. But that's another message. Here is Jesus come to the temple. Jesus has come to whose place is the temple? Who does the temple belong to? Later on, Jesus makes a parable and he says, the king returned to his country. The king has come. Here was King Jesus coming to the temple. Whose temple was it? It was his. It was his, and the custodians of the house did not recognize him when he turned up. Of all the people who had the right to say, get out of this place! My father's house, see? My daddy's place. This is my place. You get out of my daddy's house. See, sons have a right to do that. This is powerful stuff. Yeah. The king comes home and says, get out of it, you creeps. You don't turn my place into a ripping off place. You don't turn this into a greedy market to make money, to feed your own, to line your own pockets while the poor struggle. Sorry, out. And then there's in this one verse, verse 14, this is what's so exciting for me. This is what's so exciting for me. How much time have I got left? This is so exciting for me. When Jesus finally purifies the temple, cleans it out, and he's there, who is it that recognizes that the king has come home? Look at it. And it's the one, it's not in Mark, it's not in Luke, it's not in John. In this one little portion we see, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Those who could not see, those who could not walk, those who struggled, those for whom had no hope, no help, no strength in the world, saw that the king is home. Let's go to the king. He will look after us. My house should be a house of prayer. What is prayer? Connection with Father. That's all it is. It's where we make connection. It's where we meet with him, and he meets with us and speaks to us, and we speak to him, and we enjoy each other's company. That's prayer, as I understand it. My house should be a house of prayer. The temple should have been, out of all the world, the one place where everyone on earth could come and meet with God, because it's a house of prayer. There was even a courtyard for the Gentiles, those outside the covenant. They could come in and they could meet with God, and God promised he would meet with them. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Sorry if I'm shouting. I'm just getting excited. I do. My volume goes up when I get excited. My family will tell you this. I've just told you. You can tell. So that was the point of the temple. That was the point of the temple being there. God intended that one place in the whole of the earth would shine with his glory, would shine with the glory of God. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The light was supposed to shine from that temple. Another quickly, very intriguing point. Right in the very... You know, the temple had that Holy of Holies. This is probably a side chapter. We're in the Holy of Holies. You know the Holy of Holies, and that you're following with me? If you're not following, I don't want to go down here. Inside the temple was that place that only the high priest once a year could go into, because it was so holy. And it was. But they kind of got, this is what the Lord was trying to impress upon them. You don't just slop up to me in any old attitude. You have to come into humility and surrender. Okay, so there was it. And across the box, the box that kept the law and Aaron's bud, what else? There were three things in it. Doesn't matter. Across the top were two seraphim with wings coming out and touching. And it was said between those wings, the presence of God was. And it said in that place was called the judgment seat. Yes? Yes? Thank you. The mercy seat. The
mercy seat.
Do you know what that means? Yeah. What does it mean, Mary?
It means the Lord gave me a whole teaching on that.
Oh, well, we haven't got time right now. It means that the heart of God always, always, always is first to extend mercy.
Yes.
Yes! This is not, but oh no, we don't, you know, here some of us, the way we preach, oh, God's a God of judgment, oh, sin, oh, God's going to lie. Whatever that means. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Judgment, destruction, condemnation? That's the kingdom, the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, and peace. What is fruit? It's that which is produced by a tree just because of its nature. It doesn't have to work on. What is the nature of God? Love, joy, peace. He does not like judging. He does not like having to bring judgment upon people. Read Ezekiel. He does not want to do that. Hates having to do it. His heart is to extend mercy and love. That's his heart. All right, now the scary bit comes. So out of all the world, suddenly the temple, for one brief capsule in moment in time, fulfills the purpose for which it was made. the poor and the needy come home to the king and he meets their needs. Oh, glory. But now it changes because now he no longer wants a building there. He decides, I'm going to put my house is going to be people. So that now we are walking temple to go into all the world and take the mercy and the love and the kingdom of God into all the world. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you and you and you and you and you, every single one of us. Because we are now walking, talking, living, breathing, sneezing, temples of the living God, houses of the living God. We are a focal point of this huge, magnificent, eternal, awe-inspiring God who fills the universe. As I've told you before, I ponder that sometimes and I think, why did I do this? My brain can't cope. This amazing God filters in there. Poof. All of that powered into one person. Two people. How many of them in this center? That we become, I was trying to think of an illustration of this and I couldn't think of one. The only thing I could come was a hose, which is kind of close. Then I'll get to this other thing I'm going to show you. You know, when you turn on the hose, behind that hose is all the water backed up somewhere. And all the water, wherever it's stored in this country, wherever, you know, wherever the reservoirs of water is, you turn the hose on, all the water comes out. Because that hose is the focal point for all that storage of water, which is gazillions of gallons somewhere. But it comes out here. Oh, yeah, a bit of water. Very bad illustration. But you and I are the focal point of the kingdom of God. We are the focus. We are the thing. I hope you're getting this because I don't know if I'm struggling to explain it. We're the focal point that'll do. And the cool thing is that's the invitation to us to be the vessels, to be like Jesus. When Jesus came, he came to represent, to be the walking, talking, sneezing, coughing. I don't know if he coughed, but you know what I mean. Hot, sweaty, all that kind of stuff. The focal point of the kingdom. Jesus carried in him the kingdom, and the kingdom manifested through it. It came through him. It was revealed through him. The power of God was shown through him. The love of God was shown through him. John's gospel, Jesus continually says, if you don't believe me because of my words, believe me because of my works, which were all, as far as I can tell, demonstrations of the power of the kingdom. Because the king wants to make himself known. There is a new kingdom that's been built that is consuming the earth. You and I are the ones who get to carry that. You and I are the ones who get to have it flow through. Amen. Ephesians says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is towards us and in us. We carry that power. Oh, I don't know about you, Mighty Ian, but gee, I don't. Well, actually, we do. I'll get to that on another message. There's reasons why we don't walk in all that. But this is the reality. This is the truth. It is the truth.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I think it's exciting. Right. Now, Jonathan has been asking me, why have you got these here? I have in here some gloves. I'm sorry, this sermon is a little bit hodgy-podgy because I've had to sort of take a bit out, so it seems a bit disconnected. That's my apologies. I got two of those. We won't worry about that one. Oh, I've got to have those one there. This one's there. And here's some line. See, different gloves. All these are different gloves. These are Jonathan's. Oops, they're getting a bit well-used. Ice-scanning gloves. See, they've got little things on the end. You can ask him later what they are, what he needs those for. But that's ice skating gloves. And it's the left-hand one that has these on it, isn't it? The right-hand one doesn't have these, but the left-hand has to have these little hard bits on the end for his ice speed skating. For these loonies that want to hurtle around on ice at some breakneck crazy speed. Yeah, that's gloves. Here's a nice little dainty. This is a dainty glove, I guess you'd call that. Now this one here, I'm told, is for in the mountain. Yes, Corey, am I right? Where's Corey? He's not here. He's with a glove. This is a glove that you wear. It's a sport one, but it's for wearing the mountain. He said it actually is waterproof. You can pick up the snow, biff it at someone, and your hand won't get wet. It's for the mountain. Casual mountain work, I would think. Right, different glove. This one, I'm told, is supposed to be a cycling glove. It looks very much like a sailing glove, so they're obviously very similar. Padded here, you see, for putting your hand on, and so your hand doesn't get sore on the grip. Glove. I don't know what this one is. It's wool, and it's cutaway glove. You know, the old... But I know what you use these for. You know, if it's cold and you still have to do fiddly work, useless with the things on the end. You've got to have the tips chopped off. And so you've got to have a cutaway glove so you can still do things when it's freezing cold and your fingers don't feel like they're going to get frostbite when you do it. It's that glove. Pardon?
Not all of them.
Yeah, sometimes some just have two. Yeah, depending on what particular task. Now, this glove you might think is just a normal sort of a glove. But this is actually a fascinating glove. On that little bit of thing, normally with gloves, when you try to use your tablet, your iPad, it doesn't work because they have to have the sensitivity of your skin. It responds to something in your skin. I won't go into it because I'll probably get it wrong. But this finger, this digit finger, that finger there, has something on the end there so your hand can stay warm but you can still use your iPad. Trust me, it works. This is an iPad glove when it's cold. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because God wants to fill us with, he wants to make us his home. He wants to be inside us. He wants to fill us. The concept is first in Gideon. Remember the story of Gideon? Gideon, the judge who God used, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The actual translation can also mean, the Spirit of the Lord put Gideon on. Mm-hmm. In other words, he got inside him. Mm-hmm. Like we get inside a glove. So the Spirit of the Lord comes on us, comes inside us, and he puts us on like a glove. That's it. Now, you might think, well, that's not a very good illustration. No, it's not, because a glove doesn't live. This glove has no choice about what it's going to do. The thing about you and I is that we are living, breathing beings that God has made, and he wants this to be a partnership. So he comes inside, as he said, let's go have some fun. But it's up to you and I whether we say yes or no to it. He will still be inside us, but we can simply remain useless on the shelf if we will not say yes to the things he wants to do. Because you see, what he wants to do is he wants to take us with him inside us and go and do the stuff. And we say, Ian, I want you to go lay hands on this person. Okay, Lord. What are you going to do? Wait and see. Okay, so I say, yes, Lord, do what I'm told, and then his power goes through and changes things. Amen. With me?
Yeah.
Why have I got a whole bunch of different gloves? Because you and I are all different.
Amen.
We are all different. Billions and billions of different gloves that he wants to put on. Beautiful gloves. We don't think we are. Sometimes you look in that mirror and think, you've got to be kidding me, Lord. But we are in his sight. And he longs to fill it. That's what it means to be filled with the Lord. The funny thing, well, no, I won't get it. But that's what it means. As I understand it, to be filled with the Lord is to be like a glove that he puts his power and presence so that that glove, that little glove there, this tiny little human being that we are, becomes the whole focus of the kingdom of God. And with him inside us, anything's possible. Because he is not limited by the glove. We think he is. We think we are. God, I'm only this dumb glove. Look, I'm a bit torn in places. How can you possibly use it? What are you worried about? I'm not limited by you, by the size of the tear in you. I'm not limited by the size of that glove. I'm not limited by those things. You think I am, but you're not. Don't worry about it. Besides, I can fix this up. With me?
Amen.
Like that, if he feels it's appropriate. But he can fix it up. He is not limited by how we see ourselves. There is no limit to what he can do. All he wants us to say, come with me. That's why I was so excited by some of the songs we're singing. The key is surrender. This glove has to surrender to the hand that's in it. Has to. If it's going to be used to see the glory of the kingdom. And trust me, there's nothing more exciting. I don't think there's anything more exciting than seeing the Lord work through you and do amazing things. And He wants to demonstrate the power and love of His kingdom through us. Can I just say this? I think acts of kindness are absolutely important. Words of encouragement to people are absolutely important. But there are people doing those things. There's people like, do you have the Lions Club and Rotary and stuff like that over here?
Yes.
You know, these men's club, other service clubs. If Christianity is simply to be reduced to just doing good things for other people in our own strength, then we don't need Him in us. We actually don't need Him at all. We can do this very well without Him. And He'll be pleased with it. But the kingdom will not manifest in the fullness of its glory. We have to let Him put us on. And at His power. That's what He wants to do, because He wants to be a partnership. We are co-workers with Him. We work alongside Him. He works alongside us. We are not slaves in the sense of beep, beep, beep. We are surrendered people, yes. Our hearts have to be surrendered. It's the only way it works. It's the only way it works. Any area of our life that is not surrendered to His love and to His lordship, we are not surrendered. Has to be brought. We will not see the fullness. And the cool thing is, He just is in us for the fun of it. Before we do anything, He wants to be in us. It is okay just to be a glove and have Him in us and enjoy His presence. In fact, that's the first thing He wants to do. He just wants to make a home in us. And then He'll say to us, okay, Ian, little glove that I wear, amazing glove that I wear, I haven't got another glove like you. So if you don't come with me and do what we're going to do, who am I going to get? Who else am I going to get to do it? I can't get anyone else because you're the only one of you that I've made. So don't try and be like anyone else. Just be you. Sorry. Spitting. You with me?
Amen.
That's what He wants to do. And He wants to pour His love and His power through us. He wants to do miracles through us. He wants to give us words. And let me just give you one practical thing that we can begin to do this, and I'm running out of time. It's a nuisance having to be out by 1 o'clock each time you have to try and chop things up. The way this works is that and I heard this just recently. I mean, I've tried to do this in different ways, but I thought this was really good. Is that whenever you're coming into a place and you simply say, Lord, what are you doing in this person's life that I can serve and that I can bless? And basically you're making yourself available to let the power of God work through you. What are you doing in this place? What is God doing? Just recently when we were away, and listen, start with each other. Start with each other, because if we can do it with each other, we can do it outside the world. If you're more comfortable, if you're a fire-breathing maniac like Florence here, who just loves to get out and say, oh, I don't want to be in church, I want to be out with all the others, I want to be out there doing this stuff. Praise God. We should all just go with her and just watch her. That's amazing. Okay, so if that's who, if you want to do that, fine, go for it. But start doing it. See, when we were away on the weekend, when us leaders had to go away and discuss things, we were praying for Colin, and I asked that question. And I said, Lord, what are you doing in Colin right now that I can serve or bless? And the Lord immediately showed me some things. That's the confidence. Listen to this. If we are wearing him like this, or he's wearing us, I should say, then wouldn't it be fair to say that chances are the first thing that comes to our mind will be him? Because he's in us. He's in our spirits. We've surrendered to him. We just don't trust him enough to be able to do it. But more often than not, the first thing that comes into your mind is him. And then all the doubts come in. Oh, yeah, well, it sounds a bit strange. Oh, no, probably wasn't the Lord. Have a go. First thing. It's okay to make a mistake. He's not going, oh, you stupid. He's not going to do that to us. He'll be more pleased if you give it a go and get it wrong than if you don't give it a go at all. Understand? He's much happier if we paint the town the wrong colour than not even try and paint it at all. Understand? So give it a go. That's why I start with each other. It's safe. And that's just one simple way. I believe this. I believe God wants to shake this town. And he's looking to do it through you and I. Yep. Through acts of service. Yes, through simply loving on our community. No strings attached. Jesus let the power of God fall. Remember, he healed 10 lepers. 10 lepers. They said, could you heal us? I'd love to heal you. Boom, healed them. 9 walked away and only one came back to give thanks. But he still healed them. He wasn't looking, oh, I'm only going to heal you if you follow me. Uh-uh. He healed them. Didn't ask him first, or do you want to become a Christian first? I don't know if you've heard that. Oh, I'm not going to pray for you until you get saved. Where did that come from? Not what Jesus did. Only one came back. Fine. Love people. Only a few might respond. Love them anyway. Do those simple acts of kindness. See, we're all designed differently. There are things in every single one of us. There are places with all of us that God wants to have fun because we're all different. And there are ways that you will bless people that I can't possibly do. Because it would scare the living daylights out of me. But you know, some of us can just walk into some situations, take over, and I think, how on earth did they do that? You know what I mean? I was talking to a guy who was a prison chaplain once. And he said, oh, I love this stuff. And I'm thinking, these guys are murderers. I've changed a bit since. I quite enjoy it now. But at the time, I thought, I don't know how you can do that. You know, working with people, I'd just be happy to slit your throat. As otherwise, I thought, no, thank you. Then we were talking about sick people. And because I've lost both my parents to cancer. And I've gone through it. So I understand pain and suffering and hurt. And I can go into hospitals and it doesn't faze me. And I'm talking to the same guy who will, and he said, but boy, one thing I just could not be is a hospital chaplain. See, we're made different. Yeah. Don't try and be like someone else. Find out the unique thing about you, what it is that you love doing, and say, Jesus, come and fill me, and let's do this together. You want to have a look at that one? That's a weird glove. That is a really strange glove. Are you with me? God wants to use us to change this nation. My heart is to see this city changed. My heart is to see this city changed. I'll pick this up next time. I've got more to say on this. There's just more to say. And I believe God wants to use us. I'm not fussed whether we become a 6 million people-sized church or whatever. But we have a role to play. There is something we can do. Every single one of us, and as a corporate, as together, and as individuals, we can touch the city. The world needs love. The world needs, and it needs the kingdom. But the kingdom will only come through you and me. He doesn't show, unless the Lord occasionally works sovereignly in spite of his people, but normally the most common way is he wants to work through us because it's fun, he has fun, and we have fun doing it. Yeah. And he wants to demonstrate his kingdom. There are issues that we have with this. We have difficulty. We have difficulties of faith. There's all sorts of problems about why it doesn't happen, oh Lord. And you feel that thing, that's all right for you, Ian. You're da-da-da-da-da, but, I can't do that. I don't believe that. God couldn't use me. We've got to deal with those things. We have to, and we'll look at those things another way. Jesus can set us free from that in an instant. But God wants to change this town. I believe this. I believe so strongly that I think God wants to set up this city as an example to the rest of the country. I believe God can transform this city. I really believe that. I am convinced of it. And if we will begin to believe it, really believe it, and begin to pray towards that end, and in tiny acts, we don't have to go out and get megaphones and zoom up and down. If some of you feel an anointing to go and do it. You know, I don't want to say that, you know, I don't think I could, but if you feel anointed to go and, you know, preach Jesus loves you and everything up and down the street with a megaphone, go for it. You probably get the sound people telling you, stop making that noise. But if you've got the anointing to do it, go for it. Bless you. Do it. You know what I mean? But as we pray, you see, as you pray and as we serve and love the Lord, the atmosphere over a place, the spiritual realm over an area deeply affects, and this city is affected by the shame of the rest of this nation. And I believe God is breaking that. And I believe God is going to break it in us. And he's doing amazing things in this town, more than he's doing in Maidenhead, more than he's doing in Marlow, more than he's doing. I think this place is a sitting duck for the glory of God to come upon us. There is, outside of London, there is no other town in the whole, I like to call it city. For me, a place of 130 or so thousand is a city. Who cares if there's no cathedral in it, for goodness sake? You're the only country in the world that calls a city because it's got a cathedral in it. Hey? We're the cathedral. It has got a cathedral. Come on. Yes. Now, what's the trigger I was going to say?
Besides London.
Outside of London, this city has the highest number of different cultural groups than any other city besides London. Yeah. I read the book of Revelation and I see those praising God of every tribe and tongue. And God, that's the kingdom of heaven. It's a foreshadowing in heaven, but what is seen in heaven can be here on earth. That's God's intention. And I think we're sitting ducks for it because God loves a mixture. Loves a mixture. And please tell us, if you've got ideas, how we can make our worship time. We've got a few ideas, but how we can make our corporate settings like this more reflective of who we are. That's why I said when you prayed, I wanted you to pray in your own languages. That's why I wanted you to do that. We will get some songs that we could all sing the same song, but we'll just make this wonderful noise if we're all singing it in our own language. We had one, we couldn't remember it. How when could we, Shane? Anyway, we weren't on this morning because there's a wonderful team going to enjoy us, but we'll try and get that. But I want us to get some songs that we can all, just simple phrases, we can all just sing it in our own language. Wouldn't that be fun? Anyway, that's just an aside. I am convinced of this. I am convinced of this. I hope you are. That's my vision for this place, for us as a church, that we will in some way play our part. And the bigger, the more, the better. I know there are other pastors in this town who have the same heart. And if we can all play our part, we will see this city turned around. I believe it because I've seen a nation changed simply because of prayer, simply because a church decides to serve that city, not jam the gospel up their nose. Because when the power of God starts manifesting and healing and touching people's lives, suddenly people are realized there's something more going on. Because if we pray, people start making decisions that are righteous and they don't really know why they're doing it. Because the forces that cause people to make the dumb choices begin to lose their power. You don't have to be saved to make a righteous judgment. You understand? This is how it can happen. And in that environment, the kingdom of God flourishes and people come in. Yes. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'll leave it there. We probably should.